So we're doing a series on honor, and the first week Darren spoke. How many of you have been just really enjoying the past 2 weeks where Darren has spoke and Steve has spoke on honor? It's been phenomenal, hasn't it? And I just really feel that this is such a timely message for a timely time. It's a bit of a tongue twister, but... And today we're going to talk about honoring one another. And the reason why I feel like it's such a timely message is because more than ever before, I mean, we've had prophetic words spoken over this church and over this expression of the body of Christ, that the outpouring that God had poured out over us in the 90s and even in the early 2000s, that is now spread out all over the world and continuing all around the world, that God has so much more for us, that He's not finished with us, that there's another great outpouring that He has for us. And even this past week, I was even sharing with Steve and Sandra, I got this picture of this incredible dam, like this huge dam. One side is filled with water, and the other side is just a flowing river. It's still a flowing river, but it doesn't have like the deluge that's on the other side. And I felt like the Lord was handing us a mallet, saying, who's going to break it? Who wants to break it? And amen. And it's almost like He's like, He's already here. He's already ready. He's already poised to pour Himself out on each one of us. And I feel like this subject of honor is something that He is bringing into this church and into Catch the Fire, because honor is a heavenly word. Honor is a heavenly currency. Honor is something that is supernatural. It's not of this world. And if we are going to walk in a place of supernatural growth and in a place where we're walking on heaven on earth, we need to step into that place of honor. Does that make sense? Like, how do I describe this? If I was going to meet the Queen of England, I know that I would need a lesson in etiquette, right? Things like, I don't bounce up to her and say, what up? You know, it's do not speak unless you're spoken to, or like whatever it is. And apparently, Kate Middleton, getting ready to be married to Prince William, had to have lessons on being royalty, right? Had lessons on how to how to stand, how to speak even. And you know, I even heard, you know, things, I mean, it could be rumors, but I've even heard things like they practice not sneezing in public, you know, like just really having that air of royalty. And I know it sounds kind of crazy, but I could be making it up. English friends, anyone, is that true? It is true. Yes, it is true. And so, I mean, that's just here on earth. And yet here we are, royalty. We are royalty, each one of us, and we were birthed in the chambers of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We were birthed and we were conceived in the heart of the Lord of this universe. We are royalty. And we're not of this world. I'm in this like place where I'm like, oh God, help me to get it out. We are not of this world. We are strangers in this land. Right? We are what Danny Silk would call aliens, you know, serving an alien king. And here we are, not of this world. And yet, how many of you know, living in this world day in and day out for a lot of years, and we end up losing our sights on heaven and begin to focusing on our surroundings, and we begin to forget that we're strangers in this land. Right? We forget that we're strangers. We forget that we're royalty, and we begin to act like those of the world. We begin to speak like those of the world. Begin to, you know, engage with one another as ones in this world. And that is an earthly language. The heavenly language is honor. The earthly language is competition. The earthly language is, if I don't look out for myself, no one else will. You know, the earthly language is, I gotta get the best for me. The earthly language is, if you're going to get my blessing, there's not going to be enough for me. The earthly language is me, me, me. The earthly language is selfish ambition. And it's amazing, because when we live in this earthly world, what happens is we completely strip away the supernatural in our lives. What do I mean by that? I'm going to give a really, really silly example, but I hope it's simple enough for everyone to be able to understand, and even more so to apply into the truly important areas of our lives. I'm going to give you an example. I have a great affinity and love, not only for Starbucks, but for lemon cakes. I love lemon cake. Lemon cake is one of my favorite cakes. I just really, really like it. Sam, unfortunately, doesn't like lemon, so the only time I get to indulge in lemon cake is when someone else has it and I get to have a slice. So, so a while ago, do you remember how we had like a birthday anniversary celebration in January where we had all these beautiful cakes back there? It was delicious. There was one honking piece of lemon cake. And you know, God just reminded me of this, and it's so funny because he showed me a picture, and this isn't actually what happened in reality. In reality, I got my big piece, I even got a second piece, and like there was a whole bunch of us lemon cake lovers standing, hovering around this giant cake and taking piece after piece after piece. It was wonderful. But he was giving me an example, and he's like, can you imagine, Linda, if there was actually not a big piece of cake, but there was a small piece of cake, and here you are, elbowing your way across the crowd of people to try and get your slice of that cake. And even if you made it, even if you were the last person to get that last slice of lemon cake, you have just stripped away any potential and any possibility for my miraculous to move in producing more lemon cake. Right? In us fighting and struggling and striving on our own, we strip away the supernatural and the ability for God to move in a way that he has not been able to move before. And what do I mean by this? I mean, I have friends who have, you know, these are, again, simple examples, but I have a friend who has an anointing for really good parking spots. How many of you have the anointing? Everywhere you go, you know God loves you so much, he's going to have that perfect parking spot for you, even if you're going to Yorkdale on Boxing Day or, you know, some ridiculous time of the year. You know he's going to have that perfect parking spot for you. Not all of us have that anointing, unfortunately. No, but I have these friends that have amazing anointing, and they literally drive around on a packed parking lot, and I'm like stressing. I'm like peeling my eyes. I wish I had eyes on every part of my head, you know, try and find a parking spot. But they just drive around in peace. No, Daddy loves me so much. He's going to get me a parking spot. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, right. Yeah, right. That never happened to me. So I'm just going to have to look and do this stuff on my own. And they're just like driving around in peace, in total peace, and be like, oh, boop, there it is. And I'm just like, what? It's amazing, and I know this is a really silly example, but I feel like in times where we strive and where we live in an earthly currency, we completely take away God's ability to work in the miraculous in our lives, right? That's why I feel like it is such a timely message to talk about honor, because it being a heavenly language and a heavenly currency, we as a body of Christ, every single one of us in this room, need to walk in that place of honor, not only for the Lord and not only just for our parents, because we hear that, you know, verse over and over again growing up, but in honor with one another, and more so, even honor with those that we perceive lower than we are. It's amazing because the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 has an amazing, or 1 Corinthians chapter 12, excuse me, has an incredible verse talking about the body and all of us having different roles and different functions and how necessary we are. How about we turn there just so that we can read it straight out of the Word of God as opposed to my paraphrasing. First Corinthians chapter 12. I'm not going to read the entire passage because I'm going to read a really, really long passage in Romans. So I'm going to try and cut this one up a little bit. But let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Or let's start at verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body. That's you and me here. And then skip to verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not the hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for the reason any less a part of the body. Wow. I'm going to read that one more time. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. Wish. And the ear says, because I am not the eye, I am not a part of the body. It is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But God has placed the members of each of them in the body just as he desired. Can you just please say in your own heart, into your own spirit, I am where I am, just as he desired. I am where I am, just as he desired. Wow, powerful. Just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And we're going to skip down to verse 23. And those members of the body which we, how many, everyone say we. Didn't say God, it said we. Those members of the body we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. How about you say more abundant honor? For these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Oh. Oh my gosh. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That is God's heart. That is supernatural kingdom body relationship. And I know there's some of you in this room that had that same, you know, feeling that the foot said, you know, if I'm not the hand, then I'm not a part of the body. And I'm here to tell you, even if you are feeling like you are not a part of the body and you have no place that you belong, I want to say to you today, right out of the Word of God, he says you belong. He says you are exactly where he wants you to be. He says that you are a part of his heart. You are part of his body. And the body of Christ cannot function without you. The body of Christ needs you. The body of Christ needs each one of us. I love how the Lord uses the analogy of the body to describe each one of us. Because guess what? I'm, you know, grade 12 biology is a decade past. It's kind of scary that it's been 10 years since high school. So I'm going to try and scrape up. I know some of you are like, oh, you're such a baby. For me, I feel old. I'm going to scrape up any tiny little, you know, scrapings of biology I can remember. But something tells me that in even one cell of the body, there are billions of different pieces in that one cell. And I guess I could just Google it, but if you have your iPhone, feel free to Google it right now. In one cell, there is so many parts that one cell cannot function without those many parts. And then in the body, there are millions of cells. So if you can imagine millions upon millions upon millions, every single one of us here in the body of Christ is necessary in the body of Christ. You are needed. You are important. You are valued. You are worthy. You are precious. And because you are so precious to the heart of God, you are cherished. You are cherished. You are a part of who he is. What makes him magnificent is you. What makes him glorious is you. God has chosen, he has chosen to be clothed by each one of us. He has chosen to have each one of us make up who he is, which is the body. Amen? Ah, so good. How about we turn to Romans 12? So oftentimes in our walk with the Lord, and I know for me, there's so often in my walk with God, and I know a lot of you can relate that in our walk with God, we are really good at being focused and emphasizing on the upward relationship, right? me and Jesus, me and God. I need to get closer to Him. I need to spend more time with Him. I need to fix my eyes on Him. I need to be more focused on Jesus. And being a part of this wonderful body of Christ at Catch the Fire, we also have a huge emphasis and a core value in allowing God to heal the hurts in our hearts, to begin to heal the wounds of our past, and begin to let Him to deal with strongholds and judgments and ungodly beliefs and unforgiveness within us. And so I know even for myself, I'm very quick to be like, God, is that an issue? Is that something I need to deal with? Like, heal me, fix me, do what you got to do, do your surgery in my heart. But so often I forget about the outward relationship, being with me, with each one of you, and with my husband, and with my family, and with my friends. And this is what today is about. Romans 12. This is such a challenging passage. Let's start from verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. We just experienced that this morning, didn't we? Walking as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable as worship. And yet the Lord is calling us, and He's been challenging me as well, to not just be a living sacrifice. You know, part-time. I'm a part-time living sacrifice. I'm a living sacrifice from, you know, 6 to 6:30 during my devotional time. And then I'm a living sacrifice on Sundays from 10:30 to 12:30. And then I'm a living sacrifice and when I come to the Come Holy Spirit meetings on Fridays. And, you know, once in a while in between. God is calling us to be a living sacrifice where we are constantly aware of His presence, where we are constantly aware, where we are living kingdom lives, where we're living in a place of total and utter surrender. Living sacrifice. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. We just talked about this. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God and that which is good and perfect and acceptable. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think more highly of himself, more than he ought to think. How many want to say ouch? I'm going to read that one more time. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. I'm going to read that one more time. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. I just read 1 Corinthians 12, where it talked about how we were each members of the body of Christ. How many of you just read with me in Romans 12 that also means, Romans 12 verse 5, if you want to look it up again, that means that we are also individually members of one another. Wow. What does that mean? We've been talking about love our city for the theme this year in Jeremiah 29 verse 7, where it talks about when your city prospers, so you prosper. How many of you know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and His character doesn't change? What is He saying? He is saying the same principle goes with you and I. If my brother in Christ, Gordon Harris, prospers, I prosper. Wow. If the person sitting next to me, I don't even know their name, but if they prosper, I prosper because they're a part of the body of Christ. And because of that, they're a part of me. And yet how many times do we, and let's be honest here, how many times do we actually see the person sitting next to us more as competition than as someone who is a part of me? And I know I do that all the time. You know, being even a part of, you know, a family of three girls. I'm the middle child. You know, I also have had a hard time, you know, struggling with, I have to share all the time. Why do I have to always share? You know, and being, you know, the older than my younger sister, Tina, this is almost like this Korean thing where My mom would always say, Linda, be an example to Tina. You know, how many of you siblings have heard that? Be an example, be an example. And so I'm forever the one sharing. And I'm like, no. And I had a friend of mine who is an only child, and they were blatantly straight up. I don't like sharing. I don't have to share. I've never had to share in my life. So oftentimes, you and I just want to be the single child to God. You know, Daddy, just me. I'm your favorite, and that means no one else is. You know, I am your favorite, period. And yet we forget that we serve a God who is limitless. We serve a God who has no end. We serve a God who doesn't ever run out of lemon cake. Ever. Ever. We also serve a God that if we truly let Him love us, we would realize, oh my goodness, I cannot keep this love to myself. I cannot dare keep this to myself. Each one of us, as we honor one another, we grow in honor. Each time that we feed one another, we begin to become strengthened. Because you and I are a part of Him, and you and I are a part of each other. Let's keep reading. Verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Can I just say to each one of us here in this room, be free to be who God has made you to be. Amen? Be free to be who God has made you to be. Be free to be who God has made you to be. Be free to be who God has made you to be. Let's continue reading. I love this verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And now the second half of this verse, it says in my Bible, give preference to one another in honor. However, how many of you know in the NASB, they try to be as close to the Hebrew as possible. And so they have these notations on the middle that give you the literal translation. Okay, this is so exciting. Do you know what the literal translation to give preference to one another in honor is? I'm going to read it. Or, it says, outdo one another in showing honor. Wow, outdo one another in showing honor. How can I outdo showing honor to you? And how can you outdo showing honor to your brothers and sisters in Christ? And if we're constantly fighting, in a good way, over how we can outdo each other in honor, don't you think this is going to be like heaven on earth? Don't you think that this room is going to be so drenched in the love of the Father that we just cannot help but swim in it? I feel like each one of us would even be walking an inch off the floor because we'd be so overwhelmed by the love of God. Can you imagine if we weren't struggling with making ourselves, our own needs met, if we weren't constantly striving to get what Linda wants done, and I began to step into this heavenly language, this heavenly currency, this heavenly highway that says, how can I outdo you? How can we outdo each other in showing honor and love? Can you even imagine? And yet that is exactly what God is calling us to. So amazing. So it says, or outdo one another in showing honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, continuing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. So before I go any further, let's first just talk a little bit of what it means to outdo each other in honor. I've been praying a lot about how to describe honor, and you know, I feel like Peter and Heather Jackson have one of the best definitions I've ever heard when it comes to honor. And I have a couple that I felt the Lord was talking to me about as well. But what Peter and Heather Jackson said to us on the School of Ministry, and again, that was like a long time for me, but I have never forgot it, was choosing to treat the person in front of you with honor, with respect, with esteem, not because they deserve it, not because they've done anything good to you, not because they're perfect, but simply because they were created in the image of God. When we begin to look at it like that, it takes away all of our excuses for all of the offenses we hold against people in our lives. When we begin to look at the value of the person that God has placed in front of us, not because of who they are or the title they hold or the resume that you know about, but simply because they were created in the image of God, that changes everything. Let me even flip it back to each one of you and to myself. Do you know that you are precious and valued, that you are cherished and so worthy of all of the love and the extravagance of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because you were created in His image, simply because you were created in His image? Not because you read your Bible this week, although that's really awesome. Not because you didn't screw up with your family this week. Not because you managed to stay sober. Not because you didn't indulge in any, you know, habitual sin this week, but simply because you were created in His image, simply because he knit you in your mother's womb, simply because He put every cell of your body together with His love. That is why. And when we begin to see ourselves the way He sees us and ask Him to take the scales off our eyes so that we can see each other the way He sees each other, it begins to change everything, doesn't it? Another thing the Lord talked to me about was, He's like, Linda, what would it be like if I was sitting next to you? How would you treat me? You know, I was like, oh, I'd be like giddy and like, what do you need? What can I do for you, Lord? Like, are you comfortable? Do you need a blanket? What do you want to do? Do you want to have a coffee? Like, what, you know, I'd be so enthralled. I wouldn't know what I could possibly do to just, you know, love on Him. And He said, imagine the person sitting next to you is me. Treat others the way you would treat me. And I was like, wow. That is a huge conviction point for me, because I know I have not been doing that in my own life. I know that in my own life, I have scaled people from the Heidi Bakers of the world to, oh, that person picking up garbage in the TTC subway station, like, yeah, whatever. Not realizing that to the Lord, every single one of us is so valuable, so precious in His eyes. And for Him, if He was on the earth, if Jesus was on the earth, He would be showing probably more value to the one busking in the subway stations than possibly to President Obama, right? He is so someone who loves to bring up the lowly, to bring each one of us up to a place where each one of us can bask in His glory together equally as one body. Let's keep reading. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind. Do not be proud in mind. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect all what is right in the sight of all men. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow, that whole passage is so loaded. We could probably do a whole year on that. But what is God saying? What is the pinpoint of what He's saying through all of this? He's saying, Walk in my love, walk in my kindness, walk in the opposite spirit. You know, this verse is saying to me, Linda, it's easy to honor those that you deem deserve honor. But I am asking you right here in black and white and through the Holy Spirit that I am asking to honor those that you would run away from, that you would rather turn your back on and you would rather avoid for your life. And it says this whole verse of a whole burning, you'll keep burning holes on his head. And I remember growing up reading this, and I know you can relate to me. I thought, yes, I'm going to sear their skulls with fire. Finally. How many of you know having that kind of motivation taints the kindness, yeah? Anyone know it kind of puts a little bit of an edge to that? I actually haven't heard this passage being explained, and in the way that not in the way that you're going to sear someone's scalp, but rather when someone in ancient days was out of fire, and fire was life, right? Fire was what you used to cook, what you used to heat your home. You constantly had fire burning. But when a neighbor was out of fire, they would have to go to someone else and ask them for coals to relight their fire. And how many of you know when we lack the fire of God's love in our heart, we can do some pretty dark things. And we can be in a pretty dark place that is hopeless and angry and bitter and unforgiving. How many of you know that? And how many of you have ever experienced when God, through your brothers and sisters in Christ, and even through his love, reignited that fire in your heart? What has happened? It's given you new hope. It's given you new life. It's given you a reason to begin to walk in holiness, in purity, and in forgiveness, right? And so back in the day, when their fire would go out, they would ask their neighbor for fire, and they would put hot burning coals into these clay pots, and they would carry their pots back home to relight their fire. Can you imagine that through the love of God that he has placed in our hearts to love even the lowliest, the most unsightly, the most unlovable, that what we are doing is we are relighting their fire, that we are relighting their flame, that we are relighting the passion in their hearts to recognize who they are in the eyes of God. I want to end with just one last point. In my Bible readings, I try to do chronological, and I get really excited in Genesis and then half of Exodus, and then it starts going, right, until about Judges. And then I'm like, yes, Judges! I had a really hard time growing up reading the Bible, and I know, you know, biblical scholar Gordon Hares here absolutely relishes, I'm sure you relish the Pentateuch, right? Absolutely, he says. And it actually wasn't until I really began to discover the father heart of God that I began to really, really love Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And I remember, just recently I began to read through again, and for the first time in my life, I was reading the books of the law with new eyes. And there was an entire chapter in Leviticus on do not uncover the nakedness of your father. Do not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. Do not uncover the nakedness of your mother. Do not uncover the nakedness of your aunt. Do not uncover. And they were literally, you know, placing every single family member you can think of, saying, do not uncover the nakedness. And I understood where this was coming from. The Lord has such a huge value and of purity and holiness in the marriage bed. And of course, he was talking about the sin of defiling one another, especially in the family. But even beyond that, God began to give me new eyes to read that passage. And he said, Linda, I am even calling you to not uncover the nakedness of your brothers and sisters. Don't expose them. Don't expose their faults, and don't expose their failures. Don't expose the areas where they lack. Rather, I am calling you to cover them up even when they are uncovered. And he reminded me of the passage in I believe it was in the Gospels in John, where Jesus talks about how When I was in prison, you visited me. You know, when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. And even the passage where it talks about how love covers a multitude of sins. And I just really feel to bring this up because even in us honoring one another and placing each other's needs above ourselves and to prefer one another and to outdo each other in honor, I even want to say, why don't we go even beyond that? In areas where we see the lack in our brothers and sisters, instead of saying, that's obviously, they obviously have father issues there. That's pretty blatant. You know, they've got some serious rejection on their forehead, you know, and just having that kind of attitude of like, oh, there's definitely some creepy crawlers in that closet. Instead, to be like, hey, God, what can I do to cover my brother and sister in love? What can I do to be that safe place? What can I do to cover and love and to bring to high esteem where my brother and my sister who is struggling can come to a place of freedom and breakthrough in you so that we can walk in unity, so that when you begin to come and pour out your spirit in measures that we have never yet experienced on this planet, that we are walking as sons and daughters of the Most High God in righteousness and holiness and love and truth and peace and in the character of Jesus Christ, right? How about we just all stand? Father, I thank you so much that you are not only interested in healing our bodies, that you are not only interested in healing our hearts, that you are not only interested in healing our minds and providing for our finances and bringing our unsaved family into your kingdom. You are not only interested, Father, in our salvation and in our wholeness and in our abundant life that we will walk, but Father, you are also interested and so concerned in each one of your children walking in the unity that you paid for on the cross. The unity that comes into your resurrection life. The love and the honor that comes in walking out supernatural kingdom principles, in walking out in heavenly currency, in walking out of a place where we literally function out of the heart of God. I ask you, Lord, that you would come right now and wash over each one of us. Lord, we are all in need of your mercy. We are all in need of you to begin to recalibrate our eyes and recalibrate our focus and recalibrate the way we view one another. Father, I know I'm guilty of it. There's no question in my heart. And Father, I ask you that you would come and just begin to wash each one of us. And if you know that up until this point, there have been times where you've really walked in honor and there have been times where you've slipped back out of a place of, I need to make it on my own. I need to prefer myself. I need to, if I don't take care of myself, no one will. If you know that you've had that attitude in your heart that's almost caused you to strive for your own success and for your own gain, well, let's just bring that up before the Lord right now. And Father, ask him to forgive us. Father, will you just wash us? Will you wash us of any selfish ambition? Will you wash us in any way that we have tried to live our lives with earthly purpose, with earthly eyes? Father, will you forgive me for ever trying to make things on my own? And Father, will you gently put your hand on my chin, lift my head, and have me looking upward to the heavenly kingdom, that we are supernatural men and women. We are supernatural sons and daughters that are called to live as supernatural royalty. That we regard one another in highest esteem. That we love one another as you love me. It says in your word that if we were to just do one thing, if we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, we have completely and fully completed the law. And Father, I ask you that you would just come right now and just reignite that fire in our hearts. And if we're the ones needing our fires to be rekindled, rekindle our fire now, God, so that we can be fire givers instead of fire quenchers and fire takers, God. That we will be ones who say, hey, how can I heap more love on you? What can I do to outdo you in loving you and honoring you? Father, I pray that you would bring us to a place of radical love for one another, each one of us in this room. Father, I pray that Catch the Fire will be defined by love. We will be defined by honor. We will be defined where it says in your word, and they will know that you are my disciples because you have love for one another. That we would truly be a fire church where we are fire givers. We are fire givers, God. And I pray, Father, you would just come and begin to reignite that passion in our hearts and reignite that love that you have for us so that we can give to others in the name of Jesus. Father, will you come and move in our hearts right now? And if that's you, if you're like, hey, I really just, Father, I just need you to recalibrate my heart so that I can love like you love. How about let's just come up to the front. Just make a step forward and just answer the call and say, yes, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Father. I want to love like you love. And I recognize the areas of my heart where I have not honored my brothers and my sisters, where I know I have not shown your love to people that I don't think deserve honor, where I have excluded people in my life, where I have placed people on a sliding scale of valuable to unvaluable. Father, will you lift my eyes heavenward so that I can see as you see, I can live as you live, that I can love like you love, that I can be who I am, which is royalty and aliens in this world, serving an alien king, Jesus Christ. That we would come to a place of loving you and loving one another. Father, it says in your word that if you say with your mouth that you love God and you hate your brother, you're a liar. Father, we recognize that you are placing the same value on each of us. The same value on each of us. And the way we love one another as the way we love you. So, Father, I am here. Me, Linda Duncombe, as your daughter, am here with my brothers and sisters confessing of my lack of love and my lack of heavenly eyes. And Lord, I ask you today, by your grace, by your mercy, by your incredible love and the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, that you would take my hard heart and replace it with your heart of flesh. That you would replace these human eyes with your eyes of love, with kingdom eyes. And that you would bring each one of us to a place where we live like sons and daughters of the Most High God, the God who is love. Father, if there's people in my life I need to forgive, and I feel like there's some of you in this room that you know that God has highlighted a name or several names that you just really need to forgive. And he's saying, hey, haven't you been carrying that burden for far too long? Isn't it time to let me have it? Isn't it time to let go of bitterness? Isn't it time to let go of hate? Isn't it time to let go of unforgiveness? And if that's you, I want you to just say in your heart, God, I am willing to forgive right now. And let's walk through forgiveness together, shall we? Father, let's pray this with me. Father, I thank you that even while I was still a sinner, even while I was still an enemy of God, you sent your son Jesus for me to die for my sins, to pay for my iniquities, and to pay a debt that I couldn't pay. You forgave me in my darkest place. In my greatest failures, you forgave me. So, Father, with your strength, I choose to stand with you right now and be a son and daughter and walk in forgiveness too. Father, I choose to forgive. And I want you to say the names of the people you need to say under your breath. Just say it. Doesn't have to be audible to anyone else, but I want you to say it as even as a whisper under your breath so Satan hears and knows that you're serious about this. I choose to forgive them for. Say that together. I choose to forgive them for. And I want you to say it again under your breath, but it can be whisper, but just begin to lay out the pain and the offenses and the IOUs that you know that person owes you and the wrongs that have been done against you. Just begin to speak it out. God, I choose to forgive my mother for. I choose to forgive my father for. To forgive my pastors for, my leaders. Let's pray this together again. Father, I choose to give them a gift of my forgiveness, a free gift with no obligations. Not even an obligation to apologize. I completely release them into your hands. And Father, I even choose to bless them right now. I bless them to know you. I bless them to experience this incredible love. And I bless them to be transformed by your love. So, Father, wash over me with your healing love. Yes, Father, begin to wash over every single one of your sons and daughters that chose to walk in forgiveness at this very moment. Will you just begin to fill their hearts with your love? And I know even for me, when I had to deal with some serious forgiveness against my father, I had almost like these boulders in the middle of my chest, and I carried my entire life. And when I chose to forgive, it was almost like God lifted that boulder out of my heart and literally gave me a compassion for my father. Father, I thank you that you are lifting boulders out of people's chests right now. You are lifting boulders off of the shoulders of your sons and daughters. And instead, you are cloaking them with righteousness and cloaking them with compassion and cloaking them with your eyes and your heart and your ability to see beyond the failures. And Father, I ask you that you would even call each one of us to be a part of an army of lovers, to be a part of an army of passionate lovers, not only lovers of Jesus, not only lovers of the Holy Spirit, not only lovers of the Father, but lovers of one another, God, lovers of one another, that Father, we would become an army of sons and daughters that lift each other up, that lift up one another when we fall, that raise each other up, that outdo one another in honoring each other, that cover each other's nakedness, that begin to esteem one another in the highest regard and prefer one another higher than ourselves. And I pray, Father, you would just cause us to be an army of lovers that walk in the currency of the kingdom of God, so that we can usher in your presence, your sweet, sweet presence, God. We're not satisfied with the status quo. We know there is so much more. So, Father, come and cause us to be lovers in your precious name. And feel free to take, 30 seconds if you want to just tell God in your own words what's in your heart right now. Father, I pray right now, even prophetically declare over this room, that as we walk in supernatural love and supernatural honor, that we would begin to see signs and wonders all around, that we begin to see people healed wherever we go, that Father, we would come into a place where we're in the mall and we see someone in pain, that we don't think, oh, I only have 10 minutes to go to Shoppers Drug Mart, but we think, hey God, I want to outdo in honor, and so hey, I serve a God who heals. Can I pray for you right now? The Father, literally, that we would walk in the supernatural because we walk in honor. And I even want to lay out a challenge. Could it possibly be that we are not seeing very many healings in our everyday lives because we're not stopping to pray for them? Is it possible that we're not seeing the blind eyes open because we're not stopping to pray for the blind? Is it possible that we are not walking in the level of the supernatural because we have all of a sudden focused on everyday life as opposed to recognizing that we are here for a purpose, which is to expand the kingdom of God and to see souls saved? So how about we take this challenge today and say, God, I want to walk in so much honor and in so much love that literally the supernatural is everyday normalcy in my life. Like, the supernatural and the impossible is normal in my life. Amen? Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand for that. I want that in my own life. Yeah. So do it, Jesus. Do it. Well, feel free to show your love and your honor to the person next to you. And it's okay if you're here for till, you know, 2 o'clock saying, no, you're amazing. No, you're amazing. No, you're amazing. No, you're amazing. I think that'd be pretty good. How about you give someone an encouraging word or a compliment that you've never thought of giving before? You know, something you've always thought about but never actually shared. How about we honor each other today and love on each other today? Can we do that? God bless you, church. We love you. Be blessed.